book of Exodus. And we finished last week in the 22nd chapter of the book of Exodus, and I'm not going to read all of this to you from verse. We finished there 22 and verse 5 or 6 somewhere. It talks about even sowing thorns among your brother's field, that you're not to do that. It talks about not letting a sorceress live. Now, all of these things, what is it teaching? What is the law teaching? Be a responsible, respectable citizen of the country where you are. That's what it's teaching. Be responsible and a sensible person. Respectable. Respect other people's property. Keep your contracts and your covenants. Right. It's telling them to do all of that. Said, be honest with your brother. It also says that if a man, verse 25 here is another good one. If you lend money to my people, to the poor among you, you are not to be act as a creditor to him. You shall not charge him interest. These things are between God's people now. All right? Why? Charge your brother interest.
Why charge?
Because he needed the money in the first place, didn't he? He wouldn't have come to you to help him. All right? If you ever take a neighbor's cloak as a pledge, you are to return it to him before the sun sets. Julie, what in the world do you think that meant? If you take a neighbor's coat, for instance, now we have to go back to Oriental customs now. So what happened? You know that your coat, Sylvia's got a real pretty coat back there. I mean, that thing looks like it's super warm all the time. Now, if she was a Jew, she would take that thing and she'd sleep with it and cover herself with it at night time. That's right. And she would keep warm with the thing, and therefore that coat was an absolute necessity to her well-being, huh? All right? Now, what this is saying, if you take your neighbor's coat in a pledge for what he's going to pay you, you take it in the morning, you make sure you give it back to him at nighttime so it won't hurt him, so he won't be subjected to cold. In other words, you take into the account the well-being of your brother. Don't take it. Don't take his coat from him and make him freeze at nighttime. Because that was his blanket. Give him back his coat.
Even if he doesn't pay.
Even if he doesn't pay. Because your brother is more important than money anyway. That's right. Your brother is more important than money anyway. For that is his only covering. It is his cloak for his body. What else shall he sleep in? And it shall come about, when he cries out to me, I will hear him. For I am gracious. See, you may not be full of grace, but I am. And I'll hear him, and I'm going to get you. That's what it says. You shall not curse God, nor curse the ruler of your people. Now remember the poor old boy that was framed? Remember Jezebel and Ahab framed the poor old boy? Had him killed for this. Then it talks about the first fruits of the harvest, the first fruits of the Lord. We need to respect the God. Whatever we have is God. Whatever you have is God. It's not yours. You don't say, oh, well, work for it. Baloney. God gave you the health to even work for it. Gave you the knowledge to do with your job. Everything that you have is God's. You ought to treat it that way. It's God's. I'll tell you one thing. We all had a giving nature like that. Everything in the world would be wonderful, wouldn't it? But who's this talking about? It's talking about God's people. You can't expect the world to be like this, can you? Because the world is not going to think like a child of God. These were the rules for Israel. No interest. So on and so forth. We have companies out making interest today. That's the way they make a living. That's the way they make a profit. But between brethren should not do so. Does it mean that if you have a loan company that you can't charge interest, you should charge interest to your brother? The 23rd chapter. Here's another good one. Good, basic, human compassion of one another. You ever see your brother hurting? Don't stab him some more. When you see your brother hurting, don't go and kick him some more. That's what it means. Now look here. You in verse 2, 23 and verse 2, you shall not follow a multitude in doing evil, nor shall you testify in dispute, so as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice. Just because the majority is doing something, you don't have to do it. You shouldn't follow with the majority. God's the majority in this case. Nor shall you be partial to a poor man in his dispute. I don't care. You're not going to feel sorry for the guy if he's wrong. If you meet your enemy's ox or his donkey wandering away, and you shall surely return it to him. Whose? Your enemy. If you meet your enemy's animal out wandering around, and he's out there, and boy, I tell you, that guy deserves that. There's his best cow. He won't drink milk for a week now. Instead of taking it back to him, you shoo it off and run it away. No, you don't do that. What do? You take it and take it back to him and say, hey, enemy. Here's your cow back. You may not feel like you ought to feel inside, but you're at least supposed to do what the Lord told you to do. If you see the donkey of one who hates you lying helpless under its load, you shall refrain from leaving it to him. You shall surely release it with him. What do you mean? You see your brother, he loads up his donkey too much, and his donkey's fall on the ground. Maybe the donkey fell on him or something. Maybe he can't get the load off the donkey by himself. Too heavy for your brother. And he's down there, and he has no one else to help him. And this brother is your enemy. You don't like him. He's a mean, nasty person. Like Brother Bill. Not really. Bill's really got far to go. Just haven't been able to find it yet. He may be a mean, nasty person, but you're not to treat him like that. You're not to treat your brother like that. You're to show your brother love regardless of everybody. You're not even supposed to leave his donkey laying on the ground. You're supposed to help him pick it up. You shall not pervert the justice due to your needy brother in his dispute. Turn to Luke, the 10th chapter. Luke, the 10th chapter, Jesus was teaching a real story about a real thing that happened. Luke, the 10th chapter. What was this based upon? Is the writer of humanness and humanness, the humanity of Christ. Humanity of Christ. We ought to be humane to our brothers and children. Alright? Luke 10, and starting with verse 25, that way we'll get the whole situation. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and put Jesus to the test, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, What is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Whether your neighbor is your enemy or not. Now who were these people's neighbors? Children of like faith. all right? Children of like faith. They were brothers and sisters in the Lord. At one time, they had Baptist communities. And this would apply there. We don't have that. We have Baptists all over Bakersfield now from here. I don't know how far the farthest one lives, but we've got quite a thing, quite a range. From that end of town, that end of town, to that end of town. All over the place. But at one time, it would have been a Baptist community. He said, you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. Not only should you treat your brother in Christ with respect, you ought to treat even the lost people in the world with respect. Even the lost people. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Smart of it, Jesus was about to tell him who his neighbor was. Jesus replied and said, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. They stripped him and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a certain priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Look at that one again. Jesus said there was a certain man, there was a real person that lived, and he was living and a breathing individual. And he left Jerusalem and he went down to Jericho. It's down here, a long way down here. As a matter of fact, Jerusalem's about 2,500 feet high, and Jericho was about 1,291 feet below sea level. That's a long way. It's downhill. Well, in the middle of those rocky hills and countryside down through there, and I mean there's a lot of ravines and crevices and everything, and rough country. You have to pass through some narrow passages and everything down through there on this old Roman road, what Jesus was talking about down in Jericho. And there are some places there where you can be ambushed, and people did become ambushed there many, many times, and were ambushed. This man was ambushed among robbers and thieves, and they stripped him and they beat him almost to death. It says they kept on beating him until he almost died. He was right at the point of death. Here he was laying destitute on the ground. He couldn't help himself. He couldn't even get up. And he was naked. He had all his clothes off except for his underwear. That's all he had on. Took all his outer garments off because outer garments were worth some money. Everybody's clothes were worth money. You wore your wealth. Well, this man didn't have a dime. Didn't even have a credit card. Now, they had credit cards back then. How many knew that? Not like ours, but they had credit cards. They had letters of credit. You didn't know that, did you? Didn't even have a credit card. All right.
Give me letters of credit.
Letters of credit. They even had banks. Had letters of credit where a man could go in. He could come from Italy and come up to or Spain and come up to Palestine to buy goods, and he would have a letter of credit from a bank, from a firm in Spain or Italy or someplace, and say, this man is good for so-and-such money. Here it is. All right, this is a letter of credit, credit card number. Okay. Didn't even have a credit card, but Sister Gay. That was a promissory note, is what that was. That he said, I will stand good for whatever he has cost you, whatever he sold. Paul said, this is my IOU. That was an IOU. The book of Philemon is an IOU from Paul to Philemon. That's what it is, letter of credit. From Paul. A check, so to speak. All right. Going a little further. Give you a little culture of the time. He was going down to Jerusalem. He was beat and went off, leaving him half dead, or at this point of death. He was more dead than he was alive. And by chance, a certain priest. Now, what was a priest, John? Well, John, what was a priest? He was one of the religious leaders of Israel, wasn't he? Yeah, he was a preacher of Israel. He was a priest. He was one of the family of Levi. And he was a priest. He had ministered in the temple at Jerusalem. There was a certain priest going down. This was a certain individual, a real priest. He really did it. There was a certain priest going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side because he didn't want to help him. Did he know him? Who was this man that was on the ground? Was he a fellow Jew? Yeah. He was a fellow Jew. Did the priest care about his fellow man? What'd he do? Didn't care. They didn't have what's that thing down on the TV? That funny looking thing goes whoa, 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 and they run out this little ambulance looking thing. Run out there and do CPR and all that kind of junk and shoot you. What? Oh, emergency. They didn't have emergency back then. Nothing. Ambulances or anything. This was before this time. What's the name of that thing? Paramedics, but something five or... What?
Squad 51.
Oh, Squad 51. Oh, okay. I knew it was something like that. Had a five in it someplace. Anyway, they didn't have Squad 51 over there. They didn't have anything. All I had was, you helped your brother. That's the way it was. That's why on the other side, likewise, a Levite, one of the family of Levi. That wasn't a priest, and maybe something was wrong with him. I don't know. This Levite also, when he came to the place, saw him and passed on the other side. Well, I'll just ignore him. Maybe he'll go away. Maybe he'll just keep the buck over and only have to bury him. But a certain Samaritan, one that was hated by the Jews, and one of the Jews that hated the Jews, basically, he came by. A Samaritan did. A Samaritan that was not related to him in any way, that was an enemy of him. Certain Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. You ought to have compassion for your brother, especially. But even for those who were. Sometimes you get in trouble doing that. Feeding the compassion and care for your brethren. But Jesus laid it all on the line, didn't he? Huh. How many of you have been to? Huh. Yeah. Your brethren. Definitely, sometimes that happens, doesn't it? You get what we're talking about, James? Huh. Oh, James got to it. Sometimes that happens. I remember here a while back. It wasn't funny. Little boy was running, he's been playing up Star on his bicycle, running around the alley, kids do like on bicycles, I think there's no boy that's got the ball. Running around the speeding all over this parking lot, you know, we went out and looked at Gary's Gary made a book. And they were so good that they cut it out here at the superintendent's office for everybody to look at, you know. Display with some open books and getting made at the school. So we went out there to look at that, and we were pulling out of the parking lot. And this little boy was just having a ball going this way and that way, and all of a sudden he hit a curb and he just went flying, boy, just fell off the ground. So we pulled up there beside him where he went, his bicycle was laying out there on the ground. Everybody came up, when did you hit him? Yeah. Trying to help him, you know. When did you run over this poor little kid? We didn't run over him. You know, we were out there trying to help him, you know. Finally, we got everything straightened out, so we left. Well, they took us to jail, you know. Poor little kid needed somebody to help him. He didn't even know who he was. I think he had a concussion. He was knocked out for a while. Didn't know who he was at all. Several minutes later, he finally came to himself and realized who he was and told us who his mother was, or his grandmother. He was visiting here from Colorado. They asked him, do you live here? He said, I don't know. You know, at first, you know, and trying to get information out of him. Well, almost got accused of running over him there. I didn't do anything except just try to help him. But a certain Samaritan who was on the journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. And he came to him and bandaged up his wounds and pouring all the oil and wine on them. And he put him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, took care of him, and the next day he took out two pieces of money, denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay it. Benevolent character, isn't he, for an enemy? How'd you like to have an enemy like that, Sister Carlson? No, not. Basically, at this time, it wasn't true.
They didn't
reach
out much.
Yeah. Basically, at this time, we didn't have the multiplied sin and the hijackers things that we've got today. They didn't put up with it. You were killed if you did that. So they didn't have to worry about the things we have to worry about today. When you go and pick up a hitchhiker today, you may be picking up a murderer. Something. You better be very careful what you do today in this case. But you shouldn't treat your brother like that.
In other words, he left 2 days' wage.
Yes. 2 days' wage. To take care of this man whom he didn't even know. He didn't even know him. Not only didn't know him, but he was his enemy. Because Americans and Jews are enemies. They still are today. Those Americans down there give the Jews more trouble, car trouble, never fails or peanuts or whatever. Anything. I mean, they give him a lot of trouble. All the time, having how many of you heard of the name Nablus? Nablus. That's the place where they get all the trouble down in Nablus. You listen to the news every now and then, you're going to have riots and uprisings in Nablus all the time. That's the headquarters of the Jews and the Samaritans. Take care of him and whatever you spend. When I return, I will repay it you. Verse 36 says, and which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? Which one, Brother Gray, was his neighbor? The Samaritan, his enemy. His enemy was his neighbor. Jesus turned the tables on the fellow, didn't he? They said, the one who showed mercy toward him, and Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Now, where is this found in the Old Testament? Huh? Deuteronomy 23, 2 through 6, isn't it? Or not Deuteronomy, but Exodus. You remember that now. A lot of these teachings that Jesus taught in the New Testament relate to the Old Testament. Same principle there. Jesus was bringing a happening that he saw that did happen, something that really did happen in the past. And he told them, he said, look at this enemy of yours, what he did for one of your own fellow men when your own fellow people wouldn't do it. Who was his neighbor? Who really loved his brother? Which one? You know, one time, Jesus taught a lesson on forgiveness, didn't he? Peter asked the Lord, Lord, how many times am I going to have to forgive my brother? What did he say? Seven times a day? Would I have to forgive my brother seven times in a day if he did me wrong? Huh? How many times did Jesus say?
Okay.
Seven times. 490 times. That's figure of speech, people. He said, endless. You love your brother, regardless. You love your brother. You have no choice. No choice. In the matter. You love your brother. That's what Jesus is teaching there in that book of Exodus. You know, he did write it. Moses might have put the words down, but Jesus was the author. Brother Ray.
It's going to be just there right now. Another church has held, they'll use that scripture, and I think they're referring to your, not your brother in Christ, but your brother. The accident man went down about that scripture. But I was talking about my brother, not a brother in Christ. Or my brother, my little brother.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, well, the Bible says you have to forgive him, you know, seven times.
In other words, you only have to forgive your brother.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, this is referring to a
It's not
brother.
Referring to your brother.
No, it's your brother in Christ.
Brother in Christ is what it's talking about. Now, go back to the book of Exodus, the 23rd chapter. Again. Jesus, or the Lord, Jehovah, gives Israel some promises. And I'm going to read one more command to you. He talks about the Sabbath of the land. He talks about the feast. He talks about the harvest, so on and so forth, the feast of the harvest there in the first part of that chapter. And then we come down to verse 19. And he says, you shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. I think that really works today, too. You know, when you get your paycheck, you ought to take the tithe off the top of it. Right off before you even hear your bill. I don't preach much about tithes and everything, but that's the way it ought to be. Right there, before anything, the Lord is His. What you make is the Lord's anyway. And I'll guarantee you, people, if you'll start your children out, when they make 50 cents on their allowance, if you make them tithe on that, and then when they get out and get them a job, make them tithe on that, pretty soon it'll become second nature. Because see, in the first place, you're the one supposed to teach them that. And you ought to give them a good example, too. You shall bring the choice first fruits of your soil into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a kid in the milk of its mother. Judy, what's that talking about? You know? You shall not boil a kid in the milk of its mother. That's what the world did. The world did that. The pagans, in their pagan rites and ceremonies, took a calf, sometimes a brand newborn calf, and took it, skinned it, and boiled it in its mother's milk. And then he offered it up as a sacrifice. And he would eat part of it. Now, you know, that's gross anyway, isn't it? I guess you use that term today. Hard to think about. But the pagans did that. And God said, I don't want you imitating the pagans. We went out today for lunch, and we went up to this place and walked in there, and here, you know, you go into a place and they got wine and beer, every place you go right now. You cannot walk into a market without having wine and beer in it anymore. Used to, I wouldn't walk in a liquor store tonight, it doesn't matter anymore, does it? Every store you walk into is a liquor store anymore. Isn't that right? Every store you walk into is a liquor store now. You're going to go out to a restaurant, and first thing you tell them, what kind of drink, cocktail would you like to have? You know? And if you say, well, I don't want any, they think you're some kind of weirdo. Isn't that right? I don't drink. Don't want any. Grab me some water. Whatever, you know. We shouldn't act like the world, should we? Then the Lord started telling Israel that he was going to protect them in verse 20. Before I want to go on there too, to show you the stupidity of the Jewish people, God did not want them to perform this rite in boiling a calf in his mother's milk. When I was in Jerusalem, I think I spent two Sundays over there in Israel. I went to Jerusalem, then I went down to the Golden Heights, Sea of Galilee, Tiberias, down to there, and I was in Tiberias in the Golan Hotel. And I woke up Sunday morning, I was starving to death. Boy, we had some fish the day before that, and he was looking at me, all that kind of thing. You ever had one of them? Fish to look at you. You know, with the eyes looking up at you, you know, they took taking this thing and, you know, it was pretty good food, but I'm not used to eating fish that looks at me. And here was the whole thing sitting there, you know, this whole fish, head and all. And I didn't want that thing, you know, so I nibbled around on it a little bit, and that's what I had for dinner. I didn't have anything else for night, and here I was. We were running about 20-hour days. We'd go to bed about midnight, get up at 4 o'clock, and start again. You know. And I was starving to death. I'd lost about 20 pounds over there anyway. And I was wanting something to eat. Looking for a Big Mac, and I don't even like them. So I went in there to eat breakfast, and all I had down there was fish. Didn't have anything, you know, any kind of meat. All I had was fish, because they would not give you any milk, and they served milk breakfast, they would not serve us any meat at all for that meal. They had fish, they had pickled sardines, and things like that in pickles, and cheese, and bread, and that's what they had for breakfast. All, well, I mean, it was laid out, though. I mean, it was really a kosher breakfast. Laid out all kinds of stuff. So I just grabbed a bunch of cheese and bread, and they did. And I grabbed one of them fish, you know, they came over and threw a fish on my plate, you know, half-dead sardines. I just kind of shoved him out of the way. I wasn't about to, I wanted something, I wanted a hamburger at least, or something to eat, sausage or something. But they would not serve any kind of meat with milk. Brother, I was ready to drink some milk. I hadn't had any drink, milk fit to drink for over a week. I'd been down there in Syria, down there in purgatory, and I was ready for Israel by that time. But they would not serve any milk and meat at the same time. They won't serve anybody. They won't serve it in the same place. Stupid, isn't it? That's not what the law says, is it? No, it's not. But they go overboard on everything that happens. They said, you shall not sow wheat or sow on the Sabbath. You shall not go out and go working on the Sabbath. So they said, well, you can't walk across your lawn on the Sabbath because you might knock a grass seed off and sow it. You know, that's stupid too, isn't it? You cannot eat an egg that was laid upon the Sabbath because the hen worked. You know, silly things. That wasn't why the law was given, was it? No, it wasn't why the law was given. Boy, they sure come up with some weird ideas. And behold, I'm going to send an angel before you, and will guard you all along the way, and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Be on your guard before him, and obey his voice, and do not be rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression. Since my name is in him. But if you will truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel will go before you and bring you into the land of the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites, Jebusites, and I will completely destroy them. What a promise. But there's a threat in it too, isn't there? Obey or die. That's the threat, wasn't it? Obey or die. God laid it down. I was looking through one of the leader's sermons. I don't know where in the world of God I listened to him preach sometimes. Some play. Dear Bert Cross. And right up here in the title of his message was do or die. Do or die. He said the occupation of a soldier was to do or die. That's exactly what God said here, either obey or die. He said, if you obey, I will give you all these promises. If you don't, you die. Simple as that. Don't get in the way of your brother, he said. You either do this or die. Well, that's where we're going to quit from this week. Time's already up. Is this helping you?
Amen.
Brother? Is this Old Testament? Is that law helping you so you can understand? It really helps today.
What's the word?
Yeah, it's the word of God. It tells us. You know, many people, they say, oh, the law is for Israel. The law is for you too. Not in the same way. God didn't do away with the law all the way, did he? The principle's still there. The principles of the law are still in force today. Principles. The feasts are gone. All of this, we don't have to obey any of that. But we need to obey the principles of the law. Because Jesus reinforced them again in Romans the 13th chapter, didn't he? In human government. And of course, God's people have the greatest commandment, too. To follow the law. Brother Jay, what invitation do you have tonight?
377.
If you're lost, you're here tonight, God will save you if you allow him. He will. That's right. Whatever you need, the Lord can help you if you allow him to help you.